right, let's open our Bibles, shall we? We're going to be in Galatians chapter 4 this morning. Galatians 4, if you want to open your Bibles there. If you have need of a Bible, raise your hand good and high. So that oh my gosh, look at this. It's babysitting and handing out Bibles. I love it. That's what assistant pastors do. They do whatever needs to be done. I love it. I love it. Galatians chapter 4. We're going to take a small break from the book of Revelation for the month of December. The Lord has impressed upon my heart to kind of just teach a message that helps us put Christ back in Christmas. And so today is going to be the first week of 3 week Sunday services on putting Christ back in church, and then our Sunday or our Christmas Eve service that we'll have on Thursday, we'll kind of have that last point and that last message on why we need to put Christ back in Christmas. I mean, I would imagine for most of us in this room, we know that Christmas is because of Christ. But I think sometimes we can also get very busy and very caught up in the busyness of the season. So I feel like it's important for us to just continually put Christ before us. But before we get into the Word, as always, let's go to Him in prayer. Ask God to bless. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for prayer. We thank You that prayer is the one thing that we can use and help us to communicate with You, Lord, and to hear from You. And so I pray that even in this time of prayer, that You're stirring in the hearts of Your people to be more prayerful, to be more thankful, to spend more time in Your Word, to draw closer to You, Lord, because we know the days that we live in, there's so many that are drifting away from the church and drifting away from God and drifting away from Jesus, that those of us that are Christians need to rise up, even as Mark was sharing about the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. That'll never change, Lord. Your call upon every Christian's life is to make disciples. And so I pray that You would equip us this morning as Your people to do that very thing, to live our lives in such a way that we would draw others into the kingdom of God and into the family of God. We pray, Lord, as we study Your Word, that You would bless it and that we wouldn't forget the things that we're learning and that we would apply these things to our everyday. And we thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The clock is ticking, isn't it? I don't mean to worry anybody, but there's only 19 days before Christmas. Yeah, see? 19, see? It already got people stressed out. The shopping, the cooking, the wrapping, the party planning. Maybe some of you need to mail gifts to friends and family. The stress, and this list just goes on and on and on, doesn't it? The greeting cards that you have to do. Every single year, my wife and I say, this year, we're going to take a family photo and we're going to send out Christmas cards. Pray for us that we'll do this one of these years. It's just like all of a sudden it's Christmas and it's here. And this is the time of the season that we understand is supposed to be what? The most wonderful time of the year, right? Do you know that it's also one of the most stressful times of the year? Yes, we do. Listen to this. Christmas is the sixth most stressful life event for people. It's made its way up to number six, behind divorce, behind moving, and behind changing a job. Sixth of the most stressful times of the year. The most wonderful time of the year is also the most stressful time of the year. A 2012 survey of Americans found that nearly half, 45% of people, would rather skip Christmas because of the financial burden and because of the stress, listen to this, the stress of getting people the right gift. Boy, oh boy, do I struggle with that. What does my wife want for Christmas? Every year I ask, baby, what do you want for Christmas? Nothing. Which to me over the years I've learned means you better get me something good. I better like it. And if you guys know my wife and I, you know I've had some tragedies over my life. Yes, Pastor Rob bought his wife a t-shirt with an iron on 1 year for her birthday. It was bad. It was bad, to say the least. But it's a stressful time of year. And we'd all be kidding ourselves if every once in a while we didn't think throughout this season going, I can't wait till after the new year. Why? It's just busy. It's just life is moving so fast. I feel like we just started 2015 and we're already decorating Christmas trees. We're having Christmas parties. And so this is the thing I was thinking about and praying about. And as December started, I said, Lord, I really feel like we need to talk about putting Christ back in Christmas. Because all these other things are great, the parties, the get-togethers, the family, the presents, all of that is great. But we need to make sure we're focusing on Christ, the reason for Christmas. Do you realize? I mean, I imagine you would. Without Christ, Christmas didn't exist. Christmas exists because of Christ. Now, yes, Santa's kind of taken over, and all the holiday stuff is taken over, but I think for us who believe, it has to be a focus on putting Christ back there. And it's going to be something we're going to have to determine in our hearts and take time to be reminded of what Christ has done in our Christmas. That's the only way we're going to do it. So, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about several things. This morning, we're going to talk about remember why Christ came. Next week, remember to be giving towards others. The following Sunday, remember to be intentional with your time. And, of course, on Christmas Eve, to remember to celebrate Christ's birth. I hope we don't celebrate Christ's birth just on Christmas Eve when we come together as a church. I pray that on Christmas Day, you celebrate the birth of Christ. The greatest present, the greatest gift heaven ever gave to earth, right? It's the best gift you'll ever unwrap. It's the best gift anyone will ever unwrap. And that's the gift of Christ. What will you do with the remaining 19 days? Think about that. 19 days is all we have before Christmas. The first Christmas ever recorded was 336 BC. Okay, so 330 years after the birth of Christ is when they first celebrated Christmas. You got to understand, in those days, births weren't that important. Birthdays were not celebrated. Interestingly enough, in the church, the thing that they celebrated more was the death of a saint than it was the birth of a saint. Because the death of a saint meant they were in the presence of heaven. They were in the presence of God. So that was a celebration. Wow, do we have it backwards, huh? We're celebrating births and mourning at funerals. Funerals should be the celebration, certainly for the believers. It's just interesting to me. In 2011, I don't know if you've been listening to Christmas music at all, but Cutlass came out with a song, and it's called This Is Christmas. Have you heard it? I don't know. I'm one of those guys. I don't remember too well. I feel like this song just came out. I mean, it just struck me so. This is Christmas. And the lyrics go like this. Do you find it hard to sleep tonight, resting by the Christmas lights? Could there be something you forgot? Beyond the bows and mistletoe, the tree, the presence wrapped below. There's more to this than you had ever thought. Have we lost the reason that we celebrate each year? What is Christmas? If there never was a Savior wrapped in a manger, what is Christmas without Christ? What a song. I mean, it's just so been penetrating my heart, even just this week as I heard it. I was like, that's it. We're missing the point. The Christmas is about Christ, and we so easily get caught up in the craziness of this holiday that we miss it. And it won't be until after the first of the year we can finally go, okay, now I can relax. I'm praying that we can relax through this season and celebrate Christ every moment of every day. For me, growing up as a child, I just want to take you back a bunch of years. Well, my mom would get out the Christmas tree. We had a fake tree because my brother was allergic to real trees. So I always thought trees came out of a box, you know, and you put the colored branches in the stick, and then you decorated it. Bing Crosby, Christmas record. Yes, record. Some of you young kids, that's a piece of vinyl with a lot of grooves in it, and it actually made music. Bing Crosby, right? That's Christmas to me. Drinking eggnog, decorating the tree, music going on. It's just, those are the things that we remember as Christmas. And I wonder, do we have traditions? Do you have Christmas traditions, things that you do at Christmas time? My mother always put an orange in the foot or in the toe of the Christmas stocking. What is that? It was great. All the good stuff that you knew. The last thing is an orange. You know, it's like, it's not even red. I mean, put an apple in there. At least it's holiday. Traditions, right? But to be honest with you, today, if I am in a stocking and there's not an orange in the toe, I feel like something's missing. Something's missing. But see, growing up as a kid, Christmas was about Santa Claus. Christmas wasn't about Jesus Christ. Jesus wasn't about the Savior that came, the God-child that was born in Bethlehem. I wasn't brought up that way. I wasn't brought up with Christ in Christmas. The Christmas story was told in my day to make sure good boys and bad boys stayed good. Right? It was a tool that we used to make kids behave. Nowadays, what do we have? That elf on a shelf. Who has an elf on the shelf? Nobody's going to admit it. It's fine. It's fine. Elf on a shelf. It's a little elf that you tell your kids, the elf's watching, and every night he goes to Santa and tells them if you were good or bad. And then he'll come back the next day somewhere else, and you got to go find him. It's so fun. It's deception. Just saying. Look, if you have an elf on the shelf, please don't hate me. Because in my mind, these things are all what? So kids will behave. I'd like to go on record to saying I bet kids would behave if they had a strong relationship with God. If they knew Jesus came and they knew why we really celebrate Christmas, and if they had a close relationship with God, they would want to honor the Lord. Not whether Santa has you on the naughty or nice list, but whether God's pleased with you. That to me is more compelling and more important than Santa Claus. So today I want to talk about keeping Christ in Christmas and remembering why Christ came. And that's why I have you in Galatians chapter 4. In the first verse, read with me, Galatians 4, verse 1. Excuse me. Paul says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." And verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." In verse 5, here it is. "To redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." The reason Jesus came was to redeem people. And so the first thing we see here is Jesus saves you from sin. It's very simple. It's very, very logical. But that's going to help us in putting Christ back in Christmas if we focus on the fact that Jesus came so that my sins are forgiven. Because let's be honest. If you're feeling guilt because of your sin, that's a bad situation. But if you know your sins are forgiven, if you've said, "God, I'm sorry, forgive me of my sins," and you know that his blood has cleansed you from all unrighteousness, doesn't that put peace in your heart? It's good to know you're not guilty, that you stand before the creator of the world and say, "I'm innocent." When we pray, we can say, "God, thank you that you see me perfect because you see me through your Son." Aren't we glad he doesn't see us for who we are? We're thankful that he sees us through Christ, the one who redeemed us from sin. We have sin issues, my friends. We need to deal with sin. And knowing that our sins have been removed is a great reminder for us. In fact, overhead, you're going to see Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. It's one of my favorite verses in the Psalms. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Wicked way? The word, because we think, is there any wicked way in me? I mean, are we wicked? We're sinful, certainly. But that wicked way is there any offense? Is there any idol? Is there anything in my life that's hindering me, God? And I love the heart of the psalmist saying, "Search me, Lord." Every single day we have the opportunity to say, God, just search me. Because how many of us know that sometimes we think we're doing good and there's things we're doing that are off, that are wrong, that we're not even aware of? And this verse is saying, Lord, search me. I want to stay close to you. I want to make sure that there's nothing hindering my relationship with you, God. The power that God has to reveal those things to us. And just looking for ways to stay close to God and say, Lord, is there any sin? Is there anything happening in my life? It happens in all of our lives. When something goes wrong, what's the first thing you think? Have I sinned against God? Have I made a mistake? Is this happening to me because there's some unconfessed sin in my life? How many of us also know that bad things happen to those who are walking with the Lord and has no sin? You know, my devotions this week is in through the book of Job. It's like, oh, poor Job. Just, it's hardship. Did Job go through those things because he had sin in his life? No. Job went through those things because he was loved by God and God knew he had the strength to endure it. Last night I was reading a book, and I've shared this before, you know, we don't tell God how big our problems are. We tell our problems how big our God is. And in this nightly devotion I was reading last night, it really spoke to me about praying to your problems how big your God is. It kind of spoke to me in such a powerful way. Some of the things that I've been praying for the ministry, for my life, the things that are going on in my life, it's like, yes, you know what? I'm going to start praying for those things and say, my God is bigger than you. My God is bigger than the problem I'm going through. And so instead of saying, God, fix my problem, God, heal my dog, I'm speaking to a tumor inside my dog and saying, my God is bigger than you, tumor. And to really believe that God can answer that kind of prayer, to believe that God is bigger than your problems. There is nothing you can go through in your life that God isn't bigger than. Praise God for that. And we've gone through some tough things, haven't we all? Some things we never want to go through again. But was God bigger in it? Did God get the glory? Did God get the victory in it? I would say yes. Believing that God is there for us in that time. The heart here in this psalm is that, God, I'm yours, and I want to be as close to you as I possibly can. And if there's anything in my life that's hindering that closeness, reveal it to me. And in God's grace and in his love, he reveals things. Shows us, but he doesn't just leave us there, does he? He shows it to us, and this is the way to get out of it. He says, lead me in the way of everlasting. God will lead us out of our problems if we ask him. You know, we've all said this, that we've had things in our lives, we've said things in our lives, excuse me, that we wish we had never said. Anybody ever do that? Boy, I wish I'd never said that. Don't say no, you liar. Yeah, I'm talking to you. We've all done things we wish he'd never done. We've all seen things we wish he'd never seen. We've all heard things we wish we'd never heard. All of these things. But listen, and Paul says in Romans, says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But praise God, we have Jesus to forgive us of our sins. So this Christmas, take time. This in the next 19 days, thank God for the sins that he's forgiven you for. Thank God for those, because we can so focus on the current thing we're going through that we're forgetting all that God has already done. So I think this will be a tool to help us. It'll help us keep Christ in Christmas. The second thing I see is that we receive the adoption as sons. He says that, okay? In the fullness of time, God included us in his family. So Jesus brings you into his family. And isn't that what Christmas is about? Family time, right? Spending time with family or spending time with friends that feel like family. That's what Christmas time is about. And to know that we are in the family of God, to know that we are in the family of God and a part of his family. In biblical times, probably a little bit like it is today in some areas, the father was the head of the family. And he was the father, and he would make sure that everyone in the family was taken care of. And if you think about that, that's our heavenly father taking care of his family, we got God on our side. We got God taking care of us. There isn't a father in this room that wouldn't give their very life or do anything they could to protect their child. Not a father in this room. And God is our father. We're in his family. There's nothing he won't do to protect us. And that's a great reminder, my friends. Create family traditions. I want to encourage, I said it, talked a little bit about it earlier, but create family traditions. Every Christmas, do something that makes it special. You know, certainly read the Christmas story at Christmas time. We'll talk about that later. But read the Christmas story with your family before you wrap, unwrap presents, before you have breakfast. Set the tone. Read the Christmas story. Pray as a family on Christmas morning. Play board games. Do something. Create it. Make it special. Create an activity. Do you have a fireplace at the house? Anybody not have a fireplace? Do you have Comcast? They have a Yule channel. A Yule log channel. I checked it last night. I was like, oh, there it is. There's a log channel. Where were we? We were somewhere where we played that log channel. We didn't have a fireplace. Sets the atmosphere. Doesn't give off a lot of heat, but it sure is pretty. Set the atmosphere, set the tone for the home to say, this is time to remember what Christ has done. Make it special, make it memorable, because all of those traditions are things we remember. You remember when you were a kid, what your mom and dad did, the things around the house. I mean, it looked like Christmas exploded in my living room as a kid. Everything was decorated. I'm like, whew, I know people like that today. It's like, whoo, I wouldn't want to pay your electric bill. Goodness gracious. It's about family time and spending time with family. And then lastly and thirdly, and we're going to spend time in some communion today, the last thing I see, and I think it's one of the most important, in verse 6 of Galatians 4, and because you are sons or daughters, because you're a part of the family, he says, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, so that we can cry out, is what this is saying, Abba, Father, that we can call. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that God's given to us. So putting Christ in Christmas, Jesus gives you the Holy Spirit when you believe in him. Now, the Holy Spirit is powerful. We know that? Do we know the Spirit? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is the least, is the least of the God, the persons of the Godhead that we interact with, that we have a relationship with? It's no, you know, we have a relationship with Heavenly Father, certainly with Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, that's weird. But guys, this is the most important person of the Godhead because he dwells in us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And so Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to help us overcome, because I know for some of us in this room, Christmas time is a time you want to forget. For some, Christmas time are bad memories for some. But I believe with the power of the Holy Spirit, he can help us erase those bad memories and create new, better memories, focusing on Christ. The Holy Spirit is available to you if you would ask him to help you. He will help you in your time of need. It's a very weak illustration, but you'll understand the point I'm getting at. This past Friday, I was going to go to dinner with a friend, and I was given a coupon card at this one particular restaurant we wanted to go, but I lost the card. And since we moved in our new home, I couldn't find this card. And so, again, this is silly, but I was like, Lord, you know where this card is. Help me find it. And I'm telling you, I looked in my side drawer. I looked in my office cabinet, in the drawers in my bathroom. I looked in my dressers. I'm going, I know, I've seen this card. And the whole time, I mean, I've been looking for this card for a year. The whole time I'm going, God, you know where the card is. Holy Spirit, you know where this card is. Show me where it is. And then finally, you know, I'm looking. I mean, I looked every single, and I'm like, it's gone. And it's funny. In my mind, I can see the box that it was in, but I couldn't find that box. And I thought, you know what? Maybe what I did is I stuck it as a bookmark in a book and probably gave the book away. So I was pretty much settled with, fine. But God heard my prayer that he knew where it was. And I'm telling you, I was getting ready to jump in the shower, and God goes, check that cabinet one more time. I'm like, okay. So I go back, and I literally open, and I went up and down this cabinet, and I opened it up, and I stuck my hand behind a couple books, and there was that box. And there was the card. So I got 50% off my meal. So it's a silly illustration, but don't forget the power of this illustration. God knows what you need. God knows what you've lost. God knows what hurts you've experienced. God knows what blessings are coming in your life. I'm telling you, if we will put Christ back in Christmas and we will seek the power of the Holy Spirit, we will spend time with family, and we will remember what he's done for us by erasing our sins, we'll bring Christ closer and our Christmases will be great again. And if we would just ask God to show us, show me, Lord, search me, Lord, reveal to me, God. I've come to a conclusion in my life that all I have to do, I'm trying, all I have to do and all you have to do is what God has told us to do, and don't worry about the outcome. There's a lot of things I would like to get involved in. There's a lot of things I'd like to see happen in my ministry, in my life, and with my friendships, but the only thing I can do is do what God's told me to do, and I want to be as faithful as I can to what God's called me to do, and let God worry about the rest. And it's the same thing for you. So what will you do with the last 19 days before the Christmas comes upon us? Will you take time to remember what Jesus has done for you, the sins that he's forgiven in your life? Will you give him thanks for forgiving you? Will you take more time with friends and family and be focused upon that time? Make it mean something? Please don't. This is what we do. We end up at one meeting waiting to get through that so that we can get to the next one. It's like when I'm sitting with someone, I want to focus on that person. I don't want to be distracted. And then finally, I want to be submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I imagine you would too. So as we enter into this time of communion, let's ask God. As we're remembering what Jesus did for us, let's remember what he did for us on the cross. But let's ask God to help us this Christmas. Make it a Christmas to remember. Amen? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that there was a time that you set in history to send Jesus to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I pray, Lord, I pray that we would not let another Christmas go by just being glad that it's over. That truly we would take these next 19 days and make them the best days of our lives. That it truly would be the most magical time of the year. That we would not miss the reason for this season. That without Jesus, there is no Christmas. So let us celebrate the birth of your Son, and let us do it in a way that brings you the greatest amount of glory. As we enter into this time of communion, I pray, Lord, that you would show to us and reveal to us things that we can do in our lives to set things in order and to be purposed in our actions. I pray for our church. I pray, God, that you would provide for this ministry. Provide for these people. Give them the desires of their hearts. Bless their lives. We thank you for this time. Bless it now as we remember what you've done on the cross, Lord Jesus. For it's in your name. Amen. Amen.